Well, the girls' state softball tournament gets underway today with matches in Class 5A and 4A quarterfinal round. In 5A today, they run two courts during the course of the day. In action today at noon at Cedar Falls facing Dowling Catholic and Ankeny Centennial battling Iowa City West in Class 5A. The 2 o'clock matches this afternoon in 5A, Linmar playing Ankeny and West Des Moines Valley facing Dubuque Hempstead. Then later this afternoon, it's the 4A first round. In action at 4 o'clock, Pella plays Nevada while Dubuque Wallert faces Lewis Central. Then at 6 o'clock tonight, it's Bishop Heelan Catholic against Charles City and Marion facing off against Cedar Rapids Xavier. Those winners moving on to the state semifinals. Quarterfinal round play in 3A, 2A, and 1A all set for Wednesday in Cedar Rapids. Iowa State football coach Matt Campbell says he's not thinking about next year, and he wants the Cyclone seniors to experience success in the final weeks of this season. The Cyclones are on the road this week to play Kansas in a battle of teams still in search of their first Big 12 victory.
I'm not playing for next year. I'm playing for right now. I'm playing for today. So the reality of it for me is we're not quitting on those seniors either. I want to do everything in my power to give those guys an opportunity to win each and every one of their remaining football games.
Campbell says despite a 1-8 overall record, there is still plenty to play for. Jacob Park started last week's loss to Oklahoma at quarterback, and Campbell says the decision to start Park or Joel Lanning may depend on the opponent.
We see how practice goes, what's the game plan dictate a little bit, what gives us the best opportunity to have success.
Campbell says both quarterbacks are essential parts of their offense.
I think the thing that I'm really proud of is both guys will be a part of that. You know, obviously, you know, Joel and Jacob both having, in my opinion, probably playing their best football together in the last maybe 6 quarters that we've played. That's been positive.
Kansas coach David Beatty says the game matches 2 programs in the midst of rebuilding.
It's one of those deals where I think each coach has his own style. But really, I think the big thing is, as you watch them, very much like us, is if you focus on your team and really trying to correct your execution mistakes, I think that's where a lot of the progress is going to be made. And, you know, that's what we're focusing on.
Kansas may have a different starting quarterback as Montel Cozart left Saturday's 48-21 loss to West Virginia with concussion-like symptoms in the third quarter. And redshirt freshman Carter Stanley led the Jayhawks to 3 second-half touchdowns. Beatty says Stanley has made a lot of progress this season.
Even though he hasn't been the starter, he has prepared each week, and I've seen him get better at that throughout the weeks. And he's continued to keep a complete positive outlook in terms of when his opportunity comes and his number gets called. And that's really indicative of how he was able to go in there and be competitive and be productive.
Kansas is 1-8 overall in the season entering Saturday's contest. Well, even as the losses mount at Iowa State, Alan Lazard's numbers keep climbing. The junior wide receiver was the number one recruit during the 7-year tenure of former coach Paul Rhodes, and he's living up to the billing for first-year coach Matt Campbell. The Cyclones might be 1-8, but it's certainly not because Lazard has failed at his job. Campbell says if people came to practice, they'd see that Lazard is as locked in as anyone on the football team. He says Lazard has a chance to become one of the best players in college football. Lazard leads the team in receiving, yards, and touchdown catches and is steadily climbing the school's career records list. He has caught a pass in all 32 games that he's played and now ranks 5th in career receptions and touchdown catches and 3rd in receiving yards. Nebraska coach Mike Riley says quarterback Tommy Armstrong Jr. is going through the concussion protocol and is listed day-to-day for this weekend's home game against Minnesota. Riley said yesterday he's encouraged because Armstrong has said that he feels good. Armstrong's head hit the turf hard when he was tackled along the Ohio State sideline by safety Malik Hooker in the second quarter of Saturday night's 62-3 loss in Columbus. Medics tended to Armstrong on the field for about 10 minutes before he was taken to a hospital to be evaluated. Armstrong returned to the Ohio Stadium in the second half and was with his teammates on the sideline. Riley said Riker Fife would start if Armstrong can't play. He would be backed up by Zach Darlington. Well, Jimmy Graham had a hand in Seattle's 11th straight Monday night victory. It was Graham's one-handed scoring receptions that highlighted the Seahawks' offense in a 31-25 win over Buffalo last night. He used his right arm to catch a 17-yard touchdown on the first play of the second quarter and used the same arm to cradle an 18-yard TD pass just before halftime. Graham finished with 8 receptions for 103 yards. Russell Wilson was sharp as the Seahawks improved to 5-2-1, completing 20 of 26 passes for 282 yards. And 2 touchdowns. He made up for an offense that generated just 33 yards on 12 carries. The Bills had a chance to win it in the final minute, marching to the Seattle 10 before the drive stalled. Tyrod Taylor was sacked on 3rd and goal from the 8 before his final pass fell incomplete. Rex Ryan and the rest of the Bills were furious over the way Walt Anderson's officiating crew handled the last play of the first half. Ryan said it was ridiculous that Seattle's Richard Sherman was not called for unnecessary roughness when he crashed into kicker Dan Carpenter on a 48-yard field goal attempt. Sherman was instead called for offside, and after some confusion and a delay of game penalty on Buffalo, Carpenter missed a 54-yard field goal attempt. Well, Dee Ford was a bust, a laughingstock in Kansas City, the punchline to jokes that usually reference broken-down pickup trucks and ended up with them never getting where they were supposed to go. That was last year. Things have changed this year. Now the 2014 first-round pick is among the league leaders in sacks, the emerging star for a defense that has pushed the Chiefs into AFC West contention, and he's the one having all the laughs. Ford says it's human nature for athletes. The Chiefs were roundly criticized for drafting Ford with the 23rd overall pick 2 years ago when he was rated a second or third round talent by many. The Chiefs already had Justin Houston and Tom Bahali at outside linebacker and many other needs on a team in the midst of a rebuild. Coach Andy Reid says quarterback Alex Smith will start Sunday at Carolina as Nick Foles replaced him against Jacksonville after Smith sustained a head injury against Indianapolis. In baseball news, the world champions are well represented in the just-released balloting for baseball's individual honors. Cubs slugger Chris Bryant, manager Joe Maddon, and pitchers John Lester and Kyle Hendricks have been named finalists by the Baseball Writers Association of America. Bryant, Daniel Murphy of Washington, and Corey Seager of the Dodgers are up for the National League MVP. Jose Altuve of Houston, Boston's Mookie Betts, and Mike Trout of the Angels on the AL side. Joining Maddon as National League Manager of the Year finalists are Washington's Dusty Baker and Dave Roberts of the Dodgers. Cleveland's Terry Francona, Texas' Jeff Banister, and Baltimore's Buck Showalter are the AL candidates. The AL Cy Young Award is between Cleveland's Corey Kluber, Boston's Rick Porcello, and Detroit's Justin Verlander. In the National League, it's Lester, Hendricks, or Washington's Max Scherzer. Detroit's Michael Fulmer, the Yankees' Gary Sanchez, and Cleveland's Tyler Naquin are finalists for the AL Rookie of the Year, while Seager, Dodgers teammate Kenta Maeda, and Washington's Trey Turner are the National League finalists. Well, the 2016 baseball season is over, and the general manager meetings are in full swing, which means it's time for ball clubs to build their rosters. The Blue Jays and Mets both extended $17.2 million qualifying offers to two of their top players. Toronto is trying to retain sluggers Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion, while the Mets hope to keep outfielder Yoenis Cespedes and second baseman Neil Walker. Chicago Cubs outfielder Dexter Fowler, Los Angeles Dodgers closer Kenley Jansen, and third baseman Justin Turner also received those offers, as did Major League home run leader Mark Trumbo of Baltimore. Texas outfielder Ian Desmond and Philadelphia pitcher Jeremy Hellickson got offers as well. Players have until November 14th to accept. If they go elsewhere, then their old teams get an extra pick in the draft. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Atlantic Medical Center Pharmacy. For all of your pharmaceutical needs, stop by your Atlantic Medical Center Pharmacy, your Health Mart provider. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.